Well, this morning I'm going to speak about something that I'm sure that we've had many messages about, and maybe I've even done it before, but I think it helps to reintegrate those things again in our thoughts and in our teachings, because I need it. So anyway, my title today is Words Matter. And of course, we've all heard this scriptures that I'm going to read, but Proverbs 18:21 says, "The tongue has the power of life and death, and those who love it will eat its fruit." So true. Words are really like seeds. If you throw them out, they're going to land and they're going to produce something, whether good or bad. So, and it all starts within us. It affects ourselves, what we say, and it affects others around us. It makes impacts that don't ever, like, there are things that once you say them, a word goes out. You can't take it back. It's there. And how many of you, like myself, there's always something that has been said to you that you will always remember, no matter how much you say, well, I'm just going to let that go. It's always there. It's like a computer or your phone. You say, okay, I'll just delete that. But it's still stored. It's still in there. You can't get rid of it. And we have the cloud. So our scripture, of course, we're going to go to James because it has a lot to say. But I wanted to look into it a little more today. And I'm going to read it from the NIV, but I also want to read it from another version. It says in verse 1 of chapter 3, "Not many of you should become teachers, my fellow believers, because you know that we who teach will be judged more strictly. We all stumble in many ways. Anyone who is never at fault in what they say is perfect, able to keep their whole body in check." Now, I was looking at that word because we think, oh, first of all, when it says we all stumble, you can also say we can all offend. We can all fail in our duty, because we're talking about teachers and leaders here. "And anyone who is never at fault in what they say is perfect." Now, we all know that we're not perfect, and he is saying that right before that because we all fail and we stumble. But I looked that up, and it also means to be blameless and able to control. Not just perfect in everything we do, but able to control and rein in. When we put bits in the mouths of horses to make them obey us, we can turn the whole animal. Or take ships as an example. Although they are so large and are driven by strong winds, they are steered by a very small rudder wherever the pilot wants to go. Likewise, the tongue is a small part of the body, but it makes great boasts. Consider what a great forest is set on fire by a small spark. The tongue is also is a fire, a world of evil among the parts of the body. It corrupts the whole body, sets the whole course of one's life on fire, and is itself set on fire by hell. That says a lot right there. A small thing, words that you think are just minute things, things that you say to someone or to yourself, let's not forget about what we say to ourselves, we have an impact so much that it can spread into a big thing that cannot be controlled. It can start wars. It can cause all kinds of problems. Now, I want to read it to you from the message because I just think it's really impactful. It says, "Don't be in any rush to become a teacher, my friends. Teaching is highly responsible work. Teachers are held in the strictest standards, and none of us is perfectly qualified. We get it wrong nearly every time we open our mouths. If you could find someone whose speech was perfectly true, you'd have a perfect person in perfect control of life. A bit in the mouth of a horse controls the whole horse, a small rudder, a huge ship." Let's go down further. "A word out of your mouth may seem of no account, but it can accomplish nearly anything or destroy it. It only takes a spark, remember, to set off a forest fire. A careless or wrongly placed word out of your mouth can do that. By our speech, we can, By our speech, we can ruin the world, turn harmony to chaos, throw mud on a reputation, send the whole world up in smoke, and go up in smoke with it, smoke right from the pit of hell. Wow, that sounds like, okay, I like to keep with my original, but this makes it a little bit more meaty, should I say. Okay. So, and if we read in verse 9, with the tongue we praise our Lord and Father, and with it we curse human beings who have been made in God's likeness. And out of the same mouth come praise and cursing. My brothers and sisters, this should not be. So it's nice that we can all be, praise the Lord, love you like a sister in Christ, and do. But then we go out and we curse and say, they're so stupid, and why did they do that, and I can't believe it. They just don't, you know, just saying things about it, that person or someone else. But we're all created in God's image to be like him. So we have many things going on right now, and especially it's very, let's say, tense and stressful at this time with all the events that are going on in the world, in politics, and everything that's going on. So it's very, there's a lot of opinions, there's a lot of debates, there's a lot of words spoken, and a lot of times things get taken out of what it was really meant because our emotions can get really involved in what we want to say. So did you ever notice if you're trying to prove your point because you want your point to get across because you know that you're right, right? Well, a lot of times, don't we sort of raise our voice? Don't we sort of put in some more words to make it really more impactful? Like, well, you definitely never, or you always say, or, you know, we seem to throw those in there because we really want to make our point. And sometimes those words really do put a little oomph to things. So we need to learn to restrain how we say things, what we say. Like he says here, that couple little things can start something that you're not going to regain back. We have things that happen in our families and friends. I mean, I've heard many of my friends or people I know saying that because of different opinions and words that were spoken at the holiday dinner or at a get-together or something, that they're not friends anymore. Or something was said that really offended the other person. And it does take a lot of, we have to be careful how we take something too and how we perceive what they're saying. Because in the end, we really do want to defend ourselves. We want to defend what we think is right and true. So we have things that are debating and what are comments about circumstances in our lives, in political realms, or religion, different things. We have different views. So what we say and what we don't say are just as important too. So controlling not to open that mouth when we want to is hard because I have trouble with it. I'm guilty of that. I admit it because there's times I should have said nothing. And sometimes saying nothing speaks louder than words. I mean, that can go both ways, though, too. Because sometimes you need to say things that you should say, and you don't say it. And other times, you say things you shouldn't have said, and you should have not said it. So it's all about the next part, which I think, if you can take these points, and I thought these were good points for myself, because I'm preaching to myself or talking to myself. I'm not just, because I thought, well, what happens? What should I do? Oh, before speaking, I thought, whatever we say, maybe we should what we call fact check. Isn't that the big word now? Fact checking. So we should fact check. Is what we're saying true? And we should check the source. Is that we should fact check the fact checking? So also, our fact-checking should come from God's word. His facts or what he says is true, okay? Number two, check your motives. What's the reason you're saying these things? Is it to help steer that person or help someone see something that's harmful? Something that may cause them to go the wrong way and hurt themselves? Or is it something that you just want to prove the point that you're right and they're wrong, and my way is always right, and I feel good about myself, and There's motives down in that we don't understand until maybe we've spoken them and we hear them back. Number three, is it necessary? Is it very important, or is it something that's really not important to say? If it's necessary, then we need to know how to do it and say it the right way, because our tone really does matter. And what kinds of words are we using with that truth or whatever we want to share? And are they helpful? So knowing when to speak and when not to speak is important. And I thought about, it made me think of when Joshua and the Israelites were circling Jericho, God told them not to say anything. That'd be hard for like 6 days, and then on to the seventh day, and then finally, they had the trumpet sounding, but they weren't allowed to say anything. And I'm wondering, is it because after about the fourth day, about the fifth day, we'd be saying like, what are we doing here? Because you're probably wondering, why are we not talking, and we're going around this place this many times, and it's not short, it's pretty long. Maybe he did that so they wouldn't complain and give up and stir each other up and say, let's just forget it, something must be awry, Joshua must have heard wrong from God. Proverbs 10:19 says, sin is not ended by multiplying words, but the prudent hold their tongues, choosing right words more effective. Okay, well, I'm guilty of that. Sometimes the more I say, the more I get into trouble, because it's like, just stop. Because sometimes you start getting into a rabbit hole, and then you start winding other things into the situation, which wasn't meant to be in that conversation. And then you realize, oh, brother, now I'm really in trouble because I just stirred the pot up now. So the quantity of words isn't the answer, but words of wisdom and discernment, knowing when to speak and when to be silent. Hold our tongues is what Solomon even said that. He says, the more the words, the less their meaning. I think some of these are good to put on a little card. I think I'm going to put them on my refrigerator, on my mirror, and some places that I need to, because you know what, we've heard this before. I know we all have. But sometimes we just need that little reminder, because things are very tense right now. And there's a lot of things that are happening, being said amongst people. And I think it's something we need as Christians to be able to speak in things the way God would want to be represented in the situation. Proverbs 21:23, whoever keeps their mouth and tongue keeps themselves from trouble, just like I said. So we tend to jump ahead and not totally listen. So James 1:19 says, be quick to listen, slow to speak, slow to become angry. And I know sometimes I tend to do that. I jump ahead and I'm not listening, totally listening to someone else. I'm reading ahead of them and sort of filling in the blanks before they speak, and I'm guilty of that, so I know that's something for me. But I think that we have to learn to listen first. Like, where is this person really coming from, and why do they think the way they do? And then we can perceive, maybe a way to interject what we want to say after we've listened first. Because a lot of times, we want to get our point out so much that we don't, the first part is like, and then the rest is blah, 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 blah. I didn't hear anything you said. So, but I do think that if we would be quick to listen and slow to speak, it would cause less anger and less division. So how many arguments have led to divided families and friends, churches, rulers, destroyed by words? I read a note, a footnote, and I never saw this before, but in it said, and this is a good thing, it says, put a mental stopwatch on how much you talk and how much you listen. Like, how much of the time are you talking and how much of the time are you really listening? Then it says, do they, the other person, feel that their viewpoints and ideas have value? So it's one of them things that some of you are very good at that, of listening. I'm not sometimes. I do tend to do that. And I thought, too, if we replayed our words, like just think of if you could put the recorder on and replay the words you just said, that would also really give us an inclination of what is really in us and what we're saying. And I'm sure there's times I don't want to hear what I've said, but then you can see where maybe things got misconstrued about what the words were said. So we can see, like, what's in the heart issue that way. So what emphasis do we use? Like, there's some words, like, definitely, always, never, but, that's a good one, but you can say, but, that just erases everything that you said before that. Hate. Maybe. Those are words. Well, maybe. I don't know. Maybe. That's not showing real faith. Or I hope so, like Pastor mentioned last week, and complaining, and I hope so. How about the words, I'm sorry? How about the words, I love you? How many times do we say that compared to all the other words? For some of us, it's hard to say, I'm sorry. And I'll admit that's times I don't want to admit I'm wrong, but I think I was right. I don't want to say I'm sorry. But it's good to do that. Okay. How many of the words were critical? Finger-pointing words and complaining. Well, or how many were angry or gentle? You can be encouraging or being negative and doubtful. We can really look at things as they really are, and yeah, they might be bad. You're not being dishonest when you're stating bad things that are true, but we don't want to bring doubt into it. We don't want to bring hopelessness into it. We want to speak encouragement into it, because the power of our words can put negativity and turn it to more of a positive, hopeful situation. Matthew 15:19 says, out of the heart come evil thoughts, the way we are deep down and reveal themselves by our words and our actions. So words and actions tie together. And as Christians, we're being transformed and maturing in Christ. So as we mature, we should be more representative of what God's wanting us to be. And our heart issue should be changing, because we transform from the inside out. And just because, I'll get to that. I always jump ahead of my own notes here. Psalm 19:14 says, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, Lord. So it does start. The meditations of my heart. What am I thinking of? What am I thinking of? What am I meditating on? What do I put my focus on? Because meditating isn't just thinking about it. It's actually thinking it over and really pursuing thinking it over and over. Those are the things that are going to come out of your mouth. And sometimes things will surprise us that fly out of our mouth, because then we realize what we were really thinking about that was stirring up anger might come out when we don't want it to. Matthew 12:34-36, I'm going to read. Says, Jesus was talking to the religious leaders here. You brood of vipers, how can you who are evil say anything good? For the mouth speaks what the heart is full of. A good man brings forth good things out of the good stored up in him, and an evil man brings evil things out of the evil things stored up in him. But I tell you that everyone will have to give an account on the day of judgment for every empty word they have spoken. For by your words you will be acquitted, and by your words you will be condemned. That's a lot of, that's scary. It scares me because I think every word that I say is going to be judged on. That's scary. So we need to be really careful of choosing our words wisely and how we speak. And I looked up empty word in this situation. The Greek meaning, the Greek in the Strong's is 692, argos. It means thoughtless, slow, idle, careless, barren, lazy, and sluggish. So these are empty words. We don't want to be saying these kind of words. And so I was thinking about the power of words. Even Balak wanted Balaam to curse the Israelites, and his motives were definitely wrong because it's all about money. But he was known to the Israelites to curse or bless. Then we look at Ezekiel. Ezekiel was, God spoke to Ezekiel and said, can these dry bones live? And he said, I don't know, Lord, only you know. But he said, you speak to those dry bones because you're speaking as I am speaking to these dry bones. So he was a spokesperson for God, and he spoke to the dry bones and they came together and rattled and they came together just like God said. Then we look at the spies. The spies were sent to Canaan, but they brought out, 10 of them brought back the bad report, which was spreading doubt and fear, and it ended up being where they wandered around for 40 years, and they didn't get to go in until it was just Joshua and Caleb. So it caused that bad report of their, because if you think about it, they went into the land, and it was good. It had everything that God said it had, milk and honey and huge fruit, and everything was good. But the only thing they focused on was the bad part of it, the fearful part of it, which caused the whole, that generation to not be able to see that. Like I said, a small spark spreads a fire that causes all kinds of trouble, like God said that. And, of course, we think of Jesus is the Word. And I think God spoke everything into existence. That's how powerful word. If you think God, Jesus is the word of God, word. So the enemy will like to use people to do his bidding by stirring up division, using our words that he whispers in all these things into our hearts, like, oh, how... You should just tell them off, you know, these little whispers that he says. You know, they're just going to keep doing that to you. Why don't you just say something? It's just those nagging little whispers that the enemy puts in our ear. Well, using our words directed by thoughts will lead to actions. Now, society likes to change the meaning of words. I think everybody in here and everyone listening should have an original dictionary of words by the Webster or whatever. Keep it handy. Because it seems odd that there's a lot of words that are being not sure what they are. Confusion. Words as woman, huh? human being, life, a person. All kinds of words that causes confusion, to almost like in the garden. Did God really say? Is that what God is really saying? There's so many things that could be twisted and you know, Satan is crafty. He likes to use things that are normal things, but he can twist things around enough to make us be confused. So words can bless or curse. They can speak truth or lies. They can bring unity or division. They can encourage or they can discourage. The more that we grow and become more like Christ, we will be able to accomplish his mission and plans for us here by using our words that honor God and honor him. And I'm thinking of Psalms 141:3. Set a guard over my mouth, Lord. Keep watch over the door of my lips. I pray that a lot. And I want to read something here. This was very good from Charles Capps. This is a quote. Words are the most powerful thing in the universe. Words are containers. They contain faith or fear, and they produce after their kind. Just like I was saying, how seeds are, they will produce. If they're bad seed, they're going to produce bad. If they're good seed, you're going to have things accomplished. And now I know James was speaking about teachers and believers, but every one of us are a teacher of some sort, whether a parent, a grandparent, a friend, or a mentor, or a leader in the church or somewhere. But our words have to be very cautious and careful that they represent the true word of God. And our actions line up with the word of God too. So I know this was a short message, but I think a powerful thing for me to reassign myself, because it's something easy for me to talk about because I deal with it. Because I like to talk. And like I like that scripture with lots of more words don't mean anything, you know, because sometimes we tend to talk and not take a break and really listen to what we're saying or what the other person is saying. And we need to be more careful and choosing our words wisely. And remember, death and life are in the power of the tongue. Let us speak life and blessings. Let us speak all the things that would honor and glorify God and bring those people into the kingdom. We need to have our words chosen so that we can actually witness. Just like this song says, we overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. Our words of our testimony, right there is the great part of our testimony to share with other people. And showing how we're not perfect in our humanness, none of us are, but we're being transformed by God's, his changing us from the inside out. So as we see what our words are saying, we'll be able to have a little meter on our own thoughts to what we're saying, like, wait a minute, is that more of a carnal, fleshly instinct, or is that more spiritual that God wants me to be? Amen? Let's pray. Lord, we just thank you for your goodness, your grace, your mercy upon us. Lord, we are but human, but Lord, you love us. You've placed us in this place at this time. And Lord, help us to learn to just be cautious of our words. And we take these things into our heart and we think about others. We think about how you would want us to speak and how you would say things and how you would love and care about others. So we thank you for your word. It disciplines us, it teaches us, and Lord, we know that you are in us and you are changing us day by day, transforming us into your likeness. Help us to guard our thoughts, guard our mouth, our lips, and the meditations of our heart, Lord. And we just praise you and we thank you, Lord. And I just pray a blessing on everyone here and their families as we leave this place, Lord. And we pray for safe traveling mercies also for Pastor and Rhonda. We thank you for this day that you've given us. In Jesus' name, amen.